Well, this is Mother's Day, and I would like to extend my greetings to all of you as moms, that you are enjoying your day, and we are thankful for all of our moms that, none of us would be here without our moms, right? And none of us would be here without our dads, and that comes later. It's kind of an afterthought. Father's Day is an afterthought, but this is the real deal. This is Mother's Day. Well, I remember reading a story a number of years ago about a very wise mother who took it upon herself to really understand her sons, her children. She had two sons. And I think one was a medical doctor. I don't remember what the other son was, what profession he had. But he was a professional man as well. And so this mother decided that as the boys grew and got into their college and university, as they began to work in the fields of their expertise, she didn't want to be left behind and not understand and not be able to converse with her boys. And so she studied what they studied. She went out of her way and she paid for medical books and other books, whether it was accounting or whatever it was, so that she could understand the work that her boys did, so that when they came home, because they lived in other cities, when they came home, she would be able to speak intelligently with them and understand what they were going through in life. And that paid big dividends because it kept the mom close in understanding her sons. And I think that's an amazing thing, that a parent would spend that kind of time and expense to be able to speak on terms with where we're at. And so this morning, we're not going to have a normal Mother's Day message, but we're going to look into the Word, and we're going to explore a little bit about the Holy Spirit this morning. And let me tell you something, I'm no expert. I'm an explorer. I'm on journey, and I'm enjoying the journey of growing deeper with God and understanding a little bit more of who the Holy Spirit is and how He works in our lives. I've got a long ways to go, and I know that many of you here are far further down the road of discovery as far as the work of the Holy Spirit in your own lives than I am. And so you will have much to add in your conversations elsewhere as well. But I believe that God loves it that we talk about Him. You can imagine that if you were walking down a hallway, maybe in your own home, or maybe in a school or some other place, you're walking down a long hallway, and your name is mentioned in conversation in an adjoining room, what do you do? I think most of us would stop, and we'd listen pretty close. We would want to catch the content and the context of that discussion that is concerning you. You would want to know what's being said. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? Is it something I'm supposed to hear or not supposed to hear? You would want to know. But then you hear these words. You hear these words from these people in the room, and they would say to you, they would say amongst themselves, not knowing you're down the hallway, they would say, "Man, I wish James was here. I wish James was here right now so that we could talk with him about these things in person. That would be so cool if he was here right now. Let's get on the phone, let's call him up, and let's see if he can join us right now." Well, upon hearing that those in the room desire your presence, you resume your steps toward the room with eager delight. You can hardly wait to get into conversation because obviously they want you there. They want to know what you know. They want to be in fellowship and companionship with you. So it is with the Holy Spirit. When we prepare our hearts to encounter His presence, perhaps on a Sunday morning like this, through corporate worship, perhaps through it's a private time of confession, where you sense that you've been wandering from God and the Holy Spirit. You know, somebody once, I don't know who this was, I don't remember my church history, but someone once termed the Holy Spirit, a nickname, the Holy Hound of Heaven. The Holy Hound of Heaven comes after us. He's on our trail when we're wandering away from him, and he wants to woo us back. And perhaps sometimes we sense that, and so we get on our knees figuratively or in reality, and we begin to confess our distance between God and why and where and how, and we begin to be drawn back into his presence again. Perhaps we prepare for the encounter of the Holy Spirit through instruction, through teaching, where we purposely set time and place aside to pursue the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be pursuers of the Spirit's activity in our lives as well. Not just leave that up to him to chase after us. He delights when we come into the presence of our Lord and desire the presence of the Spirit with us. Perhaps we prepare sometimes for encounters through God, knowingly or unknowingly, through simple acts of ministry, serving in the name of Jesus. Perhaps our hearts are prepared for an encounter with the Holy Spirit as we hear the testimony of other people and their fresh encounters with the living Lord through the Holy Spirit, through his power, through his love, through his majesty. And we become enraptured and we begin to feel something. And we begin to have a desire growing within us that that encounter has changed that person's life. I need that encounter too. I need a greater amount of the Holy Spirit's presence in my own life as well. He delights to visit us with his powerful presence in our purity, faith, or outright desperate need. God is not a respecter of persons. He will meet us where we're at. He doesn't wait for us to have all of our acts together. He desires to meet us where we are at and to deal with us on our own merits with whatever situation we are going through in life. But he wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to empower us. He wants to shape us. He wants to change us. He wants to radically revolutionize our thinking, our minds, our wills, for his purposes, so that we can be effective servants of the Most High God in our world and bring glory to his name. It's all about letting the world know that there's a God in heaven who has made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for us, shed his blood for us, poured out his life for us, that his life can be poured into our life through the presence of the Holy Spirit, through his faithfulness to his word that he said, that what the things that he would do. I'm going to ask us to turn to Matthew chapter 3. For a moment, I'm going to be looking at a number of different passages this morning. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptizer was out of the city by the Jordan River in the wilderness. He came out of the wilderness and he began preaching and teaching. And he engaged in baptizing people. It was a baptism of repentance, of calling people back into life with God. And he said these words, Matthew 3, 11 to 12. John said, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than I am not worthy to even be his slave or carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn and burning the chaff with never-ending fire. You know something? One of the things that's required of us, if we are going to have a baptism of the Holy Spirit And I'm going to suggest that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time experience, but it's when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, perhaps numerous times through our lives, and brings power for change and greater effectiveness in the ministries and the mission that God has called us to. There is a day at the end of time when it will be once and for all, when Jesus will return and he will deal with the forces of evil, and those who have rejected Christ will stand before God in judgment. You see, one thing we don't understand is that people whose lives are so defiant that they want to turn away from God, even if they are standing before a holy God and they recognize who he is, there are many, many multitudes of people in our world who will still be defiant. They will not bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand this. We don't understand this. We had a little bit of a discussion last night at Biker Church about this kind of a thing. Because we have tasted of the Lord and we have seen that he is good. And so when God makes his offers and his promises in the Word, we love to run towards them and experience what God has for us. But there are many who don't understand and have rejected. And I'm going to say something that I believe in a very real way. For us to come to the point of committing admitting our sins before God and before others, and desiring God to forgive us and then to fill us with his presence, baptize us with his Spirit, it requires a great deal of humility. It requires humility on our part. Self has to be put way behind. And we put the Lord up front, and in humility, we come to him. I think there's a great difference between coming in humility before a holy God and being humiliated. And I would suggest that we ought to choose humility in heeding God's call and his word day by day as we seek him out, rather than rejecting day after day the things that God is speaking to us about on a regular basis, and at some point finding ourselves humiliated in front of the world. Humility is better and far more preferable than humiliation. So John said, someone else is coming, and he's referring to Jesus, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I'm going to suggest this morning that that fire of God, that separating between the wheat and the chaff and those kinds of things, is not just for a time way in the future. It is for right now, today, in our lives. I've been sensing more and more and more a need for the Holy Spirit to do that work on an ongoing basis in my own personal life. I need the Holy Spirit to help me out, because sometimes I'm trying to help myself and it don't go so well. When human effort is so involved, it just becomes an act of spinning my wheels. The day of Pentecost in Acts 2 was the beginning of the fulfillment of John the Baptist's prophetic declaration about Jesus baptizing his followers with or in the Holy Spirit. And remember that the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father and the Son are God. Three in one. Equal in harmony. Do not turn away the Holy Spirit's wooing in your life. Crave it. No matter what that baptism may look like. And we'll get into that in a few moments. In Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this. Once, when he was eating with them, when Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And we know what happened at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. and people were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they broke out in speaking in known languages. And it was a sign to the rest of the world around them that God was there and he was doing something very precious and special. And I certainly do not believe that it was just for that day or that time or that era. But in fact, the work of the Holy Spirit in all of its fullness was meant forever afterwards. One day, when we're in glory, we will see him as he is, and our eyes will be opened. But until then, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to give us a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, because we can't handle it all at once. We just cannot handle the fullness of God all at once. That's why when Moses asked to see the glory of God, in all of his glory and all of his splendor, God said, okay, I'm going to show you my glory. You remember years ago, when I was a kid in school, we were learning about the Eskimos in northern Canada, right? And how they would make themselves sunglasses out of blocks of wood. Remember learning that kind of stuff? And they would be blocks of wood that would have little slits. And so just a little bit of light could get through. Enough light that they could see where they were going, but it would block out a lot of the light. They didn't have, you know, the fancy sunglasses that that some of you buy copies of today and pretend are the real things, that kind of thing, because they're way too expensive. Some of you have the real ones too. Yeah, that's cool. It was kind of like the same as those glasses, those sunglasses, those blocks of wood. God said to Moses, okay, I'm going to have you position yourself in the cleft of the rock. There's going to be a little space. There's going to be a little crack in the rock here, and then you can walk by. But don't peek until I tell you you can look. And then when you do look, you're not going to see me in fullness. You're going to see my back as I'm walking away. Because Moses, you can't handle everything that I could show you. It would destroy you. And that's a fact in this life, in the flesh that we live in the body that we live in, in our minds, which are not yet fully synchronized, so to speak, with heaven, we could not handle a full download of what God is and who God is. And so he gives us tastes from time to time. We're going to find that some of these baptisms of the Spirit are absolutely very, very powerful. In Acts 4, 1 to 5, pardon me, 1, 4 to 5, Jesus, through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, was about to initiate his followers to replicate himself through supernatural words and works, signs and wonders, in order to build his church and cause his kingdom to expand everywhere he sent his followers. The mandate that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to baptize in the name of the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and make disciples and so on and so forth, can only be accomplished with the supernatural empowering given to his called, willing, and obedient followers. If you are a follower of Jesus here this morning, you are meant to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, empowering you to fulfill your calling and mission in God's kingdom. God desires to pour himself into you by his Spirit, full to overflowing. And it's going to look different from person to person. Very often. Some similar experiences, but it can be very, very different. From the day of Pentecost until today, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has included, but is not limited to, speaking in tongues, prophesying, coming under the weight of the glory of God's glory, causing the inability to stand, extreme heat sensation, open visions of heaven and the future, extreme joy and laughter, and sometimes weeping, and so on and so on and so on. You see, these baptisms may vary from person to person, but one common element is that people experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit are radically changed and empowered to serve God with renewed passion. Some of you perhaps really don't have a clue what I'm talking about this morning, and that's okay. We're going to be learning together. That's not meant to be a condescending statement. It's just meant to say that some of us may be newer to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's okay with Jesus too. That's okay with the Holy Spirit. Because being introduced to more fullness of the Holy Spirit today is better than never at all. And I can tell you something, that every time you experience and understand and grow in a new aspect of who God is, it's like opening a Christmas gift every day. There's something good and wonderful and life-giving there. God loves to just unfold himself to us so that we can represent him well in our world. In his book, entitled Baptized in the Spirit, God's Presence Resting Upon You with Power, Randy Clark, he just brought this out. I downloaded it 2 or 3 days ago. He offers 3 requisite conditions for experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What I love about Randy Clark and in his offerings, as I've read a number of his works over time, is that he goes into great length to understand, to study. He's like a teacher. He's like a Holy Spirit-empowered teacher many times. He's got his doctorate, and that doesn't mean a lot to some people, but what it says is that he has brought a lot of material together, analyzed it, studied it, listened to many, many people, listened to their testimonies, and so on and so forth. He studied all kinds of denominations under the sun to understand their take on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the experiences thereof, right from many Catholic churches to all kinds of Protestant churches. And he has found that basically there are three prerequisite conditions for experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to go over these briefly with you this morning. And I pray and I hope that if nothing else this morning, this will give you a greater appetite for the work of the Spirit in your life. And sometimes we need to see something different, but before we know that we need to be hungry for that. Sometimes we need a dietitian to come along and say, okay, this has been your diet. That's pretty good. But you're missing this over here because there's some vitamins that you're not getting and so on and so forth. And once we realize that the Holy Spirit offers us far more, if we just let him have his way with us, our lives will be so, so enriched in so many ways. So the first thing Randy Clark suggests is that we need to have an awareness of personal inadequacy in your Christian life. Now, this doesn't mean anything to do with worm theology. That doesn't say, oh, woe is me, I'm a worm, I'm nothing, I'm garbage. God, why would you choose me and hang our head and walk around like that? That is so dishonoring to our Creator God who fashioned us in his image so that we can represent him well in this life. It has nothing to do with that. But there are many times throughout life that we come to a sense of recognizing that where we're going in life and what God has called us into, maybe we've been believers for many, many, many years, but we sense God doing something different in our lives, preparing us for some other venture within his kingdom, and we realize that there's a sense of inadequacy. So most of us, what do? We grab some books, we go to the internet, we Google, and we try and fill our minds with more stuff and gain a cerebral understanding of something, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it's limited to that only, without the unction of the Holy Spirit along with that, it will fall short. But do you have an awareness of personal inadequacy in your Christian life? John 3:3, and this is where it really starts with us always. John 3:3 says this, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. He's talking with Nicodemus. Unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you have a change where the old life dies and your new life is made alive in the Spirit of Christ, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. You won't understand it. You won't be participating in it. You'll miss it. To be born again is a work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be born again without the Spirit of God connecting with our inner person, without our inner spirit speaking to us, directing us, wooing us, calling us, convicting us, and helping us in that process of becoming born again in life. It's absolutely a work of the Spirit. And again, you might be here this morning and you might be thinking, I've never heard any of this stuff. I barely know anything about God. And maybe today for you, the first starting point is to say, God, this sounds new. It sounds interesting. What does it mean? Help me to understand. Help me to understand enough so that I can begin walking in this way. There might be someone here today who will say yes to Jesus for the first time and begin on this journey of faith. Develop an awareness of personal inadequacy in your Christian life. And again, you might have been a believer for many, many years. But if God is calling you to something else, He will do a new work in you so that He can accomplish what He desires through your life for His kingdom purposes. Some of you have licenses and tickets for various things. You've got a license to drive a big rig, or you've got a ticket within certain things in the oil field. And I know that hopefully that's picking up more and more and more these days. However, if you've wanted to go and work in certain aspects of the oil field, you will need certain tickets. And so, you know, whether it's having to do with working with different kinds of gas and those kinds of things, you will need to brush up and get your tickets. Otherwise, they won't let you into that area to work in that field. They just won't do it because you'll be a hazard, right? If you will want to drive big rig, you'll have to get your air endorsement so that you can understand air brakes, because they operate differently than normal conventional brakes, right, truck drivers? Yeah, I found that out years ago. I'm not getting into the story because to me that story is humiliating. I don't want to go there right now. Another time. But the thing is, if we're called to do something by God, He will also prepare us. He will also give us what we need. Sometimes He'll take us through a process, and sometimes it will be instantaneous. In either respect, glory needs to be given to God for what He is doing. The second thing that Randy Clark mentions is a desire for your personal condition to change. Ouch. I don't want to change. I'm good enough the way I am. I'm just fine, thank you. Matthew 5, verse 6. One of the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, verse 6. God blesses those who hunger and thirst. My translation says justice or for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. It's been pointed out that one of the reasons there hasn't been widespread revival in North America is because people aren't hungry. They aren't hungry for God. A person who is full of food isn't hungry for something different. You might have just eaten a truckload of garbage, but your belly is so stuffed that if someone places a filet mignon in front of you, you're going to turn up your nose and go, I can't eat anymore. Part of the problem in our society is that so many of us, as believers in Christ, have filled our lives with so many other things that we're just not hungry for the things of God. We don't have room for the things of God. We don't have time to study the Scriptures. One more devotional, no time. One more minute with God. God, you don't understand how busy I get down here. I know you're pretty busy running the world, but you should see my schedule. We're full. Or we simply think, well, we don't need to change. There's nothing wrong with me. It's not me that needs to change. Billy Graham once wrote that, "I think it's a waste of time for us Christians to look for power we do not intend to use." He clarifies that, "For might in prayer unless we pray. For strength to testify without witnessing. For power unto holiness without attempting to live a holy life. For grace to suffer unless we take up the cross. For power in service unless we serve." Some of us like the idea. We read the books, and you know what? We see and hear the testimonies of people who have had amazing experiences in the Holy Spirit. God has used them powerfully. And we say, man, yeah, I want that. I need that. And so we'll read all about it. Watch the videos even. Maybe even get into a discussion group. But we won't take one step to alter the course of our life in order to accommodate the working of the Holy Spirit to accomplish those things in our lives. How many of you have ever bought a gym membership? It's okay, I'm not going to, you know, get you to say anything more about that. Quite a number of you have bought a gym membership. Can you imagine buying a gym membership and going every day only to sit in the lounge of the gym, watch the television set that's there, drink a coffee or some other maybe, you know, diet beverage, never touching the state-of-the-art equipment, never producing any sweat, picking up the exercise magazines and admiring the featured fit folks, imagining their own face on their bodies, liking the idea of fitness, and then leaving the lounge, the gym lounge, absolutely unchanged. Right? I mean, we laugh at that. That's a ridiculous thing. Nobody would spend the money and do that. Come on. Come on. Some would even go so far as to even going to the front desk of the gym and complaining about the channel the TV is set to, the placement of the furniture, or the available hours of operation that don't suit you. But you never step a foot on the treadmill or lift a weight or anything like that. I mean, it sounds absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. But I'm going to tell you something that is just as ridiculous, but far more tragic, is folks who come to a church week after week after week, hear a good message, maybe even once in a while join a Bible study, but think that's not for them. I'm in because I associate with these folks. But I'm going to leave church, and I'm going to immediately resume the life I've been living. Because after all, the devil I know is better than the devil I don't know. For whatever reason, we're afraid to make the changes, or we're stubborn, or prideful, and we don't do the change. And we don't think we can change. But boy, oh boy, the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives will never hurt us. It might be uncomfortable in the moment, but it will revive us. The Holy Spirit will renew us. The Holy Spirit will help us. He will set us up for success according to the things of the kingdom of heaven. The third thing that Randy Clark talks about is the desire for our lives to honor God and be used in His service for His glory. In 2 Peter, I believe Pastor Mark looked at these verses last week. In 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4, "By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. The work that Christ does in our lives through the Holy Spirit is complete, it's amazing, it's deep, it's powerful. And it's effective. Very, very effective. I'm going to share just one example, one testimony. Hopefully this little gadget works. There we go. This gives me hope, and this gives me just a desire. Before I read that, let me just share that, you know, I mentioned that sometimes we come to a place where we realize something's missing. This last week, I had gone downtown for coffee, and after being in the coffee shop, I went outside and made my way to my truck, and as I'm walking down the street, I see a familiar person walking down the street. And here is a street gal that I've known over the years, last number of years, and I knew what she wanted. I knew she wanted money, but I knew exactly what she would do with the money. Reputation throughout the city as someone who will just spend it on very, very harsh drugs. And I thought to myself, I don't want to have to deal with that today. See, I go downtown for me. I don't want to have to be bothered by someone approaching me and asking for something again. Right in front of me, as I crawled into my truck, there was a little beautiful black Porsche Boxster. And I thought, surely she's going to go to that car first. Because he just pulled up in front of me. Nope. Came right over to me. Put the key in, started the truck. I rolled down my window. And as she got close enough, I simply looked at her with no expression on my face, and I said, no. And she stopped, and she looked up, and she said, no? I said, no. And she turned and walked away, and I put it into drive and drove away. And as soon as I drove away, I knew that how I had responded was so unlike Jesus. I don't think Jesus would have pulled money out of his money purse and given it to her. You see, I've known this lady over time, and it was only just a few years ago, on that same street, on that same stretch of sidewalk, I engaged in conversation with her. I went into a coffee shop, and I bought two coffees, one for her, one for me. She was sitting on the street. I got down on the sidewalk with her, and we had coffee together, and we engaged in conversation. And I found out about her life, where she came from, where she was going, and those kinds of things. And I saw Jesus in her that day. But this week, I didn't see Jesus as she was approaching. I saw a problem. I saw someone who smelled bad, someone who looked awful, someone that I didn't think I had time for. And so as I drove away with conviction on my heart, I breathed these words out to God and I said, God, I'm so sorry. I need a fresh baptism of your love. Because I want to represent you and your kingdom the way you want me to. That was not honoring. But when the Holy Spirit gets into our lives and touches us in certain ways, things change. And as I read this example, be thinking of something in your life where you begin to recognize a desperate need for God. Here's another modern-day example from Robert Martin, a pastor in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I'm a pastor. Remember, some of you don't know the history of the Christian Missionary Alliance, the founder, Simpson. I think that was his name. He was profoundly a charismatic man, the gifts of the Spirit, all of those things. He says, I'm a pastor in the Christian Missionary Alliance and have a PhD in New Testament Studies from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. I mention the PhD simply to emphasize that the experiences which are recounted below and any other my other experiences of the last 2 years have been carefully thought through biblically, theologically, and historically. The work of the Holy Spirit in my life has been a developing, progressive experience with several specific crisis points. Dr. Gordon Fee, the respected Pentecostal New Testament scholar, has written a book entitled God's Empowering Presence, the Holy Spirit in the Letters of Paul. In speaking of the debate over whether there is an experience subsequent to conversion called baptism of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Fee writes, perhaps too much is made on both sides of single experiences. For Paul, life in the Spirit begins at conversion. At the same time, that experience is both dynamic and renewable. Keeping the fact in mind that the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is a continuing and dynamic process, let me briefly relate three significant experiences that I have had, rather than trying to distinguish any one as my baptism of the Holy Spirit or my being filled with the Spirit. I see each of them as examples of the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in my life. In April of 1994, I went to Arlington, Texas to attend a conference on the Holy Spirit. Just preceding this conference was a meeting of a number of pastors in Texas, which a friend and I also attended. Several of these pastors, I'll just keep reading. I come out of a very traditional evangelical background and had never seen anything like the falling, laughing, and shaking. Some of you are getting nervous now. That I saw in these meetings. I quickly sensed, however, that God was somehow in this. I heard of lives drastically changed, and I saw peace and joy in these people. Even though I was somewhat apprehensive, I finally went forward for prayer. As I was walking forward, I told the Lord that I hoped I was not being hard-hearted, but that if I fell down, it would have to be He that did it. As these leaders began to pray for me, they prayed very quietly, and they certainly were not trying to push me over because they did not even touch me. Suddenly, I felt a heat rising up my legs, and I had to struggle just to stand up. I began to stumble around like a drunken man. The next thing I knew, I was lying on the floor. There was no great emotion as I lay there, but I had a great sense of peace. I also realized that my life would never be the same. In the next couple of days, there was more prayer, and I cried tears of repentance and brokenness. As I returned home, I could tell that something had happened, and I knew that the Holy Spirit had touched me. As I prayed for people in my own church, God began to touch them in a new way too. In June of 1994, my family and I went to some meetings in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where Randy Clark was speaking. I took my wife and two children, and God also powerfully touched them. I'm writing this almost 2 years later, and their lives have never been the same. These are kids touched by the Holy Spirit, being used by the Holy Spirit. We got acquainted with Randy Clark in Fort Wayne, and the next several months attended some of his meetings in different places. In November of 1994, we attended a series of meetings in North Carolina. It was a Monday night evening, and we were still there at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Church goes way too long, doesn't it? But I'll just say this, that sometimes when God shows up in the middle of a service and things linger, we go into overtime, right? You know, you will never turn the television off if your favorite team is in overtime in a hockey game, in the finals, will you? Okay. 2 o'clock in the morning, only a few people remained. We prayed for the pastor of that church, and he was powerfully touched by God, and he began to shake. My wife, Debbie, turned to me. Now, remember, when those things begin to happen, it's the power and presence of the Holy God, of our Holy God, that comes upon them, because our bodies are not used to the extreme, powerful presence of God. And so we do things that maybe don't look normal. I think we need a little more not normal in our lives. My wife, Debbie, turned to me and said, "Let's pray for you now." I had almost no physical manifestations in the months since God started this new work in me. I think that she hoped something might happen to me so I would have a better understanding of those who did have these manifestations. It was so late, and I was so tired that I just lay down on the carpet and told him to pray for me. As I lay there, my feet began to tingle, and the thought came to me that someone should grasp my feet and pray for me. All of a sudden, I felt someone grab my feet, and I heard Randy Clark begin to pray. Then Randy moved up to my head, and another pastor went to my feet, and they began to pray. My wife was on one side of me, and a friend named Greg was on the other side. They were all praying for me. All of a sudden, something hit me, and I began to shake violently. Randy later said that I looked like a frog being electrocuted. At that very moment that this power hit me, my wife and my friend Greg were knocked over backwards and began to laugh. After about 20 seconds, the shaking stopped. I had heard stories of people like D.L. Moody, who had been powerfully touched by the Holy Spirit, and he told the Lord to stay his hand because the experience was too intense. I thought that if anything like that ever happened to me, I would just say, enlarge the vessel, and I would tell the Lord to keep pouring it on. But after 20 seconds of this experience, I couldn't take any more. In fact, Randy started to pray for the Lord to send another wave, and I started saying, no, no, no. Sometime later, I got up, and I felt physically sick, somewhat like Daniel did in Daniel 8:27, when he said he lay ill for several days after his encounter with the angel. I walked about 100 feet and was so weak and so overwhelmed that I just laid down on the floor. I believe that this whole experience was God giving me a little glimpse of how awesome and powerful he really is. And the thing that happens in these experiences with people generally is that after these experiences, people are never the same. Their desire to witness to others is accelerated. Often, depending on what the Holy Spirit is giving to people at the time, they will just begin to pray for people and they will see people healed. They will begin testifying. They'll begin prophesying. And some of it is awkward at first because they're not used to all of these things. And so we hone our gifts, but we don't deny the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. Just like I felt on this last week, I blew it with that woman. And yet, you know something? It made me realize. Someone once said that when God offends the mind, it reveals the heart. My mind was offended because of this woman walking down the street. I just was not thinking straight. Wasn't thinking like a follower of Christ. But it revealed my heart, and I saw it clearly. And I said, God, I need more of you in my life. I need a fresh baptism of love in my life. Because I can't do this without you. And whatever it is God is calling you to do, you cannot do it without you. If you think you can without the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit working on your lives, you need to get down and repent. And you need to ask God to show you that you need him. We've been talking for a long time about things that God is leading us into, changes in our congregation, opportunities as we cross the river, so to speak, get to the river, then cross the river. When they crossed the river, the Israelites, things changed. When the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, things changed. There was an acceleration of the work of God in this world. And we look at this world, the world is in a mess, it's evil, it's out of control. And the answer is not in government, the answer is not in politics. Bless those of you who are involved in those things, but the answer lies in the powerful presence of Jesus Christ to change lives, most often touched by his love in deep, deep, deep ways. And in order for that, we need a fresh touch of God to help us to do that in these days for his honor and for his glory. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and if we could just do that song that we did at the last group, or the last song that we did, let's just sing through that. I'm going to ask us to stand this morning. I'm not going to ask for any heads bowed or any eyes closed. I'm just going to ask, does any of this resonate with you this morning? This isn't for my benefit, this is for your benefit. If you are here this morning and you recognize that you need a fresh touch from God, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and say, God, I need more of you. I need a fresh touch from you in my life because I just need more of your presence. God's call is on every one of us. Are we listening? God desires to change us, not to mess us up, but to bring us more completely in line with what it means to be a follower of Jesus so that his life can be clearly seen in us. Heavenly Father, I pray for these brothers and sisters this morning. I pray that as we sing this song, that your spirit will connect with our hearts. And Father, I don't know what you're going to do this morning. Maybe we're all just going to go home and have an amazing Mother's Day. But whatever it is you desire to do, just touch our hearts and our lives. You love us so much. Make us more like your Son, Jesus. And bless you as we sing this song. And as we sing this song and as we close the song, you're free to be dismissed. And all of you ladies of the church, not just moms, but all of you ladies of the church, the grade school kids are going to come. They're going to give you a gift as you go out this morning. So have an amazing Mother's Day and have an amazing Lord's Day in the Spirit of Christ as you mix with one another. Bless you.